God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton and the message called Abraham's Story. Oh, yes, we're going Old Testament, old school, Genesis chapter 22 as we dive into Abraham's story today. And I pray that you realize this is not old schooled, old information. This is a fresh new perspective on Abraham's story and how it applies to you and me today. We believe that the living word of God is ready to be communicated by our pastor, Dr. Don Wilton. And as we open our hearts, know that we're opening the phone line as well. We'd love to pray with you and for you. Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at tewonline.org. Now let's open the word, Genesis chapter 2, with Dr. Don Wilton about Abraham's story.
I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Genesis chapter 22. Everyone needs to take a copy of God's Word. There is one provided for you, but you most likely have another means. Look on your Bible app. So get out your cell phones. Make sure they're in the off position. And take out your iPad. But I want you to see this for yourself. By whatever means, I want you to look at Genesis chapter 22. I'm beginning a new series entitled His Story, My Story. Every one of us has a story. For some of us, that story is filled with everything one could possibly imagine. Wonder what your story is. Have you ever thought about the fact that there's not a single person in this world that doesn't have a story? Well, I want to, over the next several weeks, I want us to really think about what our story really means. Because I want to tell you that every single one of us is born one minute and we die the next. At some time, your tombstone is going to read from this year to that year, and there's going to be a little dash in between. I want us to just talk about your dash. There's at least one of you today that's looking at me and saying to me, you know, Pastor, if the truth were known, I really wish that I could do something about my story. It's not a good one. Well, we're going to look at this. I want to begin today with Abraham's story. I'm going to just read to you part of Abraham's story. This is what the Bible says. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham! And he said, Here I am. And he said, Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I shall tell you. So Abraham arose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac, and he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and he arose and went to the place which God had told him to go to. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come back to you again. And so Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and he laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. And so they went both of them together, and Isaac said to his father Abraham, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So they both went on together. And when they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there, laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar on the top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand, took the knife to slaughter his son. Can you believe what we're reading? This is preposterous. Would you do this? But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went, took the ram, and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven, and he said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you. I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. And so Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba, which is where Abraham lived. Now, what about Abraham's story? Just a couple of things that I want to put on the table in front of us today. A couple of things. Number one, he heard. That's what the first two verses tell us. Remarkable statement. He actually heard God speak. Are you? Can I tell you perhaps why you're not? Because you've shut him out. Abraham heard God speak. So I just want to say this to you. I don't quite know if I can put it into the correct terminology, but surely there is nothing more important than hearing what God has to say. I value very much our governor. I value very much the President of the United States. I value very much our Congress. I honor great people. But if I may say respectfully to Governor McMasters, to Congressman Gowdy, President Trump, great men and women across the board, you and I, we talk, we've got a lot to say. But our problem today is we are hearing from everybody and anybody. But if we don't hear from God, we've got a serious problem with our story. So there it is. He heard. Number two, he answered. Now that's a remarkable one. One would think that one would come up with something very complex in the life of Abraham, but repeatedly we're going to find Abraham not only listening and hearing to God, but actually answering him. By the way, God don't do neutral. He doesn't accept your silence. One of the things I love about the United States is you actually don't have to vote. Now, we all ought to. I do. Every year. I make an absolute point of it. It's a civic responsibility because I love America so much. Just trust me. Why don't some of you come with me where I've just been? Want me to show you what happens in other countries? Do you know, if you don't exercise your right as an American citizen and vote, you don't forfeit your citizenship. So we Americans have decided that our theology means that when God speaks, we don't have to say anything. And he's just going to say, you know, that's cool with me. I know you've had an off day. You want your story to amount to anything, you better start talking back to God. Don't disrespect him. I was at an airport, I think it was in Germany, and I was sitting there trying to twiddle my fingers, waiting for my next flight, and there was a mother and a father and a son, and evidently, even though they were speaking German, they didn't know that I could understand what they were saying. But evidently, the little whippersnapper decided that what his father said didn't warrant an answer. And his daddy let him know in no uncertain terms, listen here, son, you answer me back. You understand? There is something very deep about the fact that Abraham, when God said to him, Abraham, I've got something to say to you, he said, yes, sir. Number three, he obeyed. That's rather somewhat simple, isn't it? God spoke to Abraham, and in his story, and we find this right throughout the fabric of his story, he just did what God told him to do. It was really quite as simple as that. And number four, he followed. He followed God's instructions. In verse 3, he said, Lord, I'm going. God came to him and said to him, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your son. I want you to get fire and wood and a knife to boot. I want you to go to this place. I want you to go up this hill called Moriah. And that's what I want you to do. And he just did it. Now, there's at least one person today, I promise you this, our greatest difficulty is just simply obeying God. That's why, you know, I love our church, the unity. I told our ministry team and all our staff when we met for prayer early this morning, I said, you know, one of the things about going to Africa and then coming back, you just walk in and there's this incredible friendship. I just love you so much, you know. And I often make the statement, tongue in cheek, you know, we don't need a church meeting for this. We don't need a deacon's meeting. Do you know how many churches in South Carolina are meeting themselves to death, making decisions that God's already made? We should come up with a new phrase when someone in the church comes up and says, you know, I think we need to have a meeting. I wish we could look at that person and say, are you stupid or something? I like that. It's got a sort of a little kick to it. Because we've got so American in our churches. We think we've got to sit down all the time and rethink what God's already determined. Just follow Him. Just do what He says.
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton. Don't go away. We'll be back with the rest of today's message, Abraham's story, in just a moment. But as we study the Word today, and we're here in Genesis chapter 22, we pray that you would understand that as a disciple of Christ, there are certain disciplines in our life that we need to be working on. We need to be concentrating on. Are you spending some time in God's Word every day? In my own personal life, in the life of our pastor, we've determined, and perhaps you have too, that when we're consistent in that quiet time every single day, our confidence in understanding what God is saying and how to respond to Him goes through the roof. We have a wonderful free tool that we'd love to put in your hands that's called the Daily Encouraging Word Bible Guide that'll help you develop that discipline. You can pick it up online at tewonline.org. Sign up for the daily email. That's one way to get it. Or if you'd like the quarterly, we'll send that to you as well free if you call us at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. It's a thrill to have you worshiping with us and connecting with God's teaching right now during this broadcast. But having the resources in your hands, maybe in your email box every day, can help make you a better disciplined disciple. Again, the details are online at tewonline.org, or just call and ask for the Daily Encouraging Word Bible Guide at 866-899-9673. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
And number five, he received. I could spend the rest of my time from verse 15 through verse 19. I love verse 18. Just look at verse 18 with me. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Now, what I want to do for just very quickly today, I want to ask the question, if this is Abraham's story, what does it say to me? What is God trying to say to me? So I just jotted down a couple of things on a piece of paper here. In my handwriting, I can hold it up because I know none of you can read it. I just wrote these things down. I said, you know, how would this look? That's Abraham. He died a couple of years ago. How does this relate to me? What is God trying to tell me? How will this impact my story? Here it is. Number one, position right. This is what Abraham's story teaches me, that I need to put myself in the right position for God to speak to me and for me to answer God. Now, folks, I'm going to say this. Here's a battle that I have. This is my battle. My battle is that I can get awfully busy. I mean, we can do stuff nonstop. Again, I've said this a number of times. I will guarantee you there's at least one person listening right now. You haven't heard a word. You know why? Your mind is so clouded. First of all, you've gone nonstop. What did your day look like yesterday? None of this is criminal, by the way. But here's another one. You know, like, what time did you go to bed last night? Now, I'm talking in light of this moment. What kind of discipline, excuse me just a minute, what kind of discipline have you got in your life as a spiritual person that is in place because you value at the very highest level God speaking to you? What are you doing in order to position yourself so that God can speak to you? We get so busy, we don't have any time. The average person runs into church on Sunday morning, but church is not the only place. God speaks all day, every day. He speaks through friends. He speaks through Bible study. He speaks in that discipleship group, that life group. He speaks when I'm in the shower or sitting in the bathtub. He speaks when I'm driving my motor car down the road. The problem is I get into my motor car and the first thing I've got to do is put on music. Nothing wrong with music. Just a little word to our young people. You know, let me just be an old fuddy-duddy just for a minute. If I could get into your head right now, it's one of the things I'd say to you. Man, you're young, go for it, don't stop. You're going to go to Gallup, whether somebody says it or whether, that's all fantastic. And all the other stuff. But don't push God out. Relegate him. Put him in a box. Position right. Number two, say yes. Determine that whatever it is God says to you, you're going to say yes. You know, I'm around great men that I admire, people that I just admire, and on the list goes. You talk to them about their service to our nation, very quickly you hear them say, yep, that's what we did. Yes, sir. I flew over Normandy, and looking out the plane, I could see all the beaches of Normandy, and I've been there a number of times, but so I could identify it, and I took a couple of pictures out the window of the plane, and I thought of how many of our men died on those beaches. We can have the freedoms that we have right now. Listen, when it comes down to Abraham's story, is something about Abraham. Listen, this man wasn't perfect. He sinned repeatedly against God. One could go on and on down the road, but he understood what it meant to just say yes. Some of you need to do that. I'm going to ask some of you in a minute, get up out of your seat and just say yes to Jesus. It's time for you to just say yes. It's time to say yes. When God speaks, you say yes. Number three, anticipate radical. Anticipate radical. That's what this story teaches me. Anticipate radical. Excuse me. This is radical. You know, I read this over. Can you imagine God coming to Abraham? He only had one son. And by the way, that story is another story in and of itself. Can you imagine? He's got one son. God makes him all this promise, and then God comes to him and says, here's what I want you to do, and he says, yes. Okay? He puts the radical on him. Now, radical is take your only son, march him up that hill, and offer him as a sacrifice. That falls into my radical category. Here's what we do many times. We say, Lord, speak to me. Yes, I'll do anything you want me to do. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to obey you. I'm going to follow you. But just so long as you need to know this, don't do anything to me that's going to take me outside of my comfort zone. Hello? God's a radical God. That doesn't mean to say he's going to ask you to do what he asked Abraham, or he's going to ask you to do what he asks me to do, or ask me to do what God asks you to do. He speaks to all of us in the context of his own divine will, because he has a perfect plan for you and me. But what this story teaches me is to anticipate radical. Number four, follow instructions. Just follow instructions. Just do what God says to do. And number five, experience God's blessings. I want to read to you verse 18 again. In your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you obeyed my voice. Karen and I were in a fairly remote place in Africa, and I had you in my heart so much. And we'd seen what a blessing our church, so many of our people have been to orphans over there. I know that some of you saw some of the pictures that I sent over. You can't imagine the blessing. It's like Serve Spartanburg. You can't imagine the blessing so many of you were to so many people right here in our own community. But here I was standing on the Indian Ocean. I wish I could describe it to you. In another world, long way from America. And my heart was so deeply moved. And I was thinking about today, Genesis chapter 22. And so I wrote something to my three grown children, to Rob and to Greg and to Shelly Ann, all grown, all serving the Lord, and to Rob's beautiful wife, Annabeth, and Greg's beautiful wife, Abby. This is what I wrote, and I printed this out. I want to read to you what I wrote standing in Africa on the Indian Ocean, looking at cascading mountains, the sounds of animals and baboons and great white sharks. There was a great white shark attack while we were there on that very beach. This is what I said. Mom and I just prayed long and hard for all of you and for our grandchildren. We realized that it was from this place that all we did was obey. We left here only because God spoke and opened a door. We had no clue what lay ahead 40 years ago. And then, despite ourselves, God blessed us most of all with you. And look where you all are today. When you speak, my sons and my daughter, do so from a heart of obedience. When you serve, do so from a heart of obedience. When you are faced with open and closed doors, only act from hearts of obedience. That's all God requires. He takes care of the rest. So what's your story? What's important to you today? Where are you going to be 40 years from now? What matters? That's why right now I'm going to ask you to give your life to Jesus Christ. We've got people who are going to be waiting for you. I'm going to ask some of you to do something that may be the hardest thing you've ever done in your life. And if you need me to walk up this aisle and come and get you, that's the least I can do. It's the least I can do, because you've done so much for me. I'm going to ask you today to just say yes. That's the starting point.
Indeed it is. That's the starting point, to just say yes. If you have questions, let's try to discover the answers together in God's Word. We'd love to speak with you, pray with you at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or perhaps just remember this URL. This is our website, tewonline.org. Three letters, T-E-W, then online.org will take you to our website filled with resources that will help you grow in your faith and an opportunity to connect with us. Let us pray with you and for you. But perhaps before you contact us, would you just take a moment and open your heart for the next few seconds, because this could be the most important part of Dr. Todd's message today.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
If the Lord has stirred your heart and you've given your life to Jesus Christ, or you've rededicated your life to Jesus Christ, welcome back to the family. Welcome, O daughter of God, O son of God. Today is the beginning of the rest of your life in the most wonderful way. We have tremendous resources we'd love to put in your hands. Dr. Don has created this packet for you. If you've given your life to Christ or rededicate your life, it's free. Just call us at 866-899-WORD and let us send it to you. Again, that number is 866-899-9673. Or you can connect online as well at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. You'll see a great number of resources, including the book from Warren Wiersbe's we've been talking about all month long, and a really unique thing called the Jesus Bible.
While many people around the world are at home with their children and grandchildren during this time of crisis, we cannot forget about their spiritual nurturing. Children need to be equipped and prayed for before they go back out into the world. With your gift of $25 per book to the Encouraging Word, we will send you a copy of Bedtime Devotions with Jesus Bible. This resource will help equip parents to share the good news with their children. This special Bible was written by 100 trusted pastors and leaders, including Dr. Wilton. Also included are 100 devotional moments to help parents answer questions that children may have. Call us at 866-899-WORD and request Bedtime Devotions with Jesus Bible today. Remember, if you do not equip and prepare the next generation, the world will. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener supported ministry that trusts in God to supply our needs through people. Thank you for listening today.
Our time's gone for today and for this week, but I pray you'll be in worship this weekend, electronically or in a car. We're still practicing social distancing for sure, but you need to be involved in a local church. If you need help finding a local church, let us know. Our phone number, 866-899-WORD, will connect you with our prayer team. Happy to help you find a church in your area. 866-899-9673. Till next time, take care and God bless. The Encourage.